and I'm proud of what I fought for. I'm not going to back down from them one bit. I will answer all of these senators' questions, but this will not be a process tried in the media. I don't answer to anyone in this group, none of you, not to that camera at all. I answer to President Trump, who received 76 million votes on behalf and a mandate for change. I answer to the 50, the 100 senators who are part of this process and those in the committee, and I answer to my Lord and Savior and my wife and my family. I'm proud to be here, and as long as Donald Trump wants me in this fight, I'm going to be standing right here in this fight, fighting to bring our Pentagon back to what it needs to be.
Well, and that's kind of the key, isn't it, is whether or not Trump wants him in the fight. That's kind of the back and forth of what everybody's looking at, because he came out, and that was Pete Hegseth, obviously, who is defending himself in this ongoing fight for who's going to be SecDef. And Trump came out with a statement that I feel was not strong. I'm going to be honest about it. Welcome to the show. Dana Loesch with you. And we got a lot of stuff that we're going over today, because we've got the breaking news in the Daniel Penny case, which is all underway now. They're in the courtroom. Yes, yours truly still under the weather, recovering. So bear with me, because we have 3 hours and we're in front of a camera and no prompter. And we don't have a team of the helpers there to, like, Charlie Brown Christmas tree you all up on break. So we got all of that. So we're going to get into it. But I want to start with, again, welcome, though. We're top of this first hour on Friday. And going through all of the biggest news, getting you set up for the weekend. Now, the Daniel Penny case, which has been, I think, what, the jury has been fighting it out, arguing it out for 3 days now, 4 days now? Yeah, well, they were. There are two attorneys on the jury, and I think one of them I read was serving as foreman. And I don't know how that factors into how it took so long, why it's taking so long, because they're deadlocked. And that's the latest with all of this. I don't even know how this is possible. The jury's deadlocked. And there are two things that they were dealing with. They're trying to figure out whether or not they can convict him of Daniel Penny of recklessly causing Neely's death, because he was in he restrained him in a chokehold. And, you know, Daniel Penny, the Marine, he's a veteran. He's, you know, an aspiring architect. And his lawyers are saying, well, he was justified. This guy was dangerous. He was saying he was going to kill people on the train. Other people on the train were like, yes, he's saying that Daniel Penny was going to kill, or not Daniel Penny, but Jordan Neely was going to kill people on the train. And even witnesses said that Jordan Neely was screaming at people that they're going to die today. I mean, he was full on getting in everyone's faces, attacking people. This was after Jordan Neely had punched an older woman in the face, broke her nose. He tried to shove another woman on a train track. And then when Daniel Penny got involved, Jordan Neely was on the train track and he was lunging at a woman who was trying to shield her baby. So the jury, prosecutors had said that witnesses testified that Neely, he didn't threaten anybody specifically. He didn't brandish a weapon. Well, if he's lunging at a baby, he is the weapon. He doesn't have to have a weapon. He's weaponized himself. Are you kidding me? Penny's attorneys were saying that there's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt that the chokehold is what caused his death, which is true. Remember, toxicology report, Neely was on drugs. Dude was on a lot of drugs. He had already had health issues because he was on a lot of drugs. Here's the idea. Maybe don't threaten to kill people, including women and children on a subway train, and you won't get choked out. And by the way, he was still completely conscious when Daniel Penny put him in a recovery position and got up. I mean, that was what they were trying to keep from defense, was that Jordan Neely was still alive. And in fact, it was perhaps alluded that it was the hesitancy or waiting period for first responders to get to him that, you know, ultimately. But this idea that Jordan Neely should be excused, that you get to attack women and children and you get to threaten to kill people and punch people in the face, and then you can say, oh, well, it's because I'm on drugs, or I'm black, which I find incredibly racist, by the way. But that's what the left argues. All of these things that you FA, you're going to FO. That's what happens. It's not the victim's responsibility to gauge the issues of her attacker or his attacker and then determine whether or not the attack is justified. But that's what is being turned up on its head here. For all the people who are upset about due process, this is what I've been telling you. All this stuff about guns is a variable. Due process is a cornerstone of this republic. And you're not watching it. You have not seen due process in New York at all for anything lately. So the jury is trying to, they were trying to determine whether or not they were convicting Penny of second degree manslaughter, whether it was recklessly causing Neely's death, which, again, I think we kind of went over what caused his death. I mean, if you're on the type of drugs that he's on, then that Neely was on. I mean, Kane, you know this, especially when the guy had prior health issues and he had been hospitalized because drugs did bad things to his body. So it's like he's not an athlete, and he was messing around and threatening to kill people. The defense, their arguments on this are just shameful. Shameful. Just absolutely shameful. Still under the weather. So all of this is to say that we're still going to have this ongoing. I mean, I don't know where we go from it, because we have a deadlock jury, and the determination of the jurors is whether or not Daniel Penny acted recklessly in that he, when he restrained Jordan Neely, that he either did so with reckless disregard of what would happen, or he knew and he did it anyway. And they were, that was one of the conditions that they're, one of the details they're trying to figure out. The defense or the prosecution was going, Jordan Neely only had a muffin in his pocket. Well, how did he break the 63-year-old woman's nose that he attacked weeks before this incident on the subway platform? What did he attack her with? Was it any less of an attack when he crunched her nose up into bits? Was it any less of an attack on that elderly woman by Jordan Neely because he wasn't brandishing a weapon? Was it any less of an attack when he tried to shove another woman on train tracks? He didn't have a weapon, so it's okay, right? He's on drugs, so it's all right, right? I mean, I want all the people who think that this type of behavior is okay, I want them to volunteer to subject themselves and their children to it. If you think it's okay and you think someone shouldn't be restrained, don't call for help when you're next. Don't call for help. We're going to come back to this because we got a bunch of other stuff to get into. Like I said, that Trump statement on, he put that out. That was on Truth Social, right? I mean, it was shared on X too, excuse me, but it was also on Truth Social. And the statement that POTUS-elect put out about Hegseth was that he supports him, the statement that he had, I mean, I was waiting for something like this to come up, but he had said Hegseth is doing well, that his support is strong indeed. This is, Trump totally wrote this, much more so than the fake news would have you believe. And he counts as his education. He says he will be a fantastic high energy Secretary of Defense, one who leads with charisma and skill. Pete is a winner. There's nothing that can be done to change that. Absent of this in this statement is a personal endorsement of him for the position. Now, you guys know enough about Trump. If he believes something strongly, he's just going to say it. This was a very carefully worded statement because he doesn't have his mind made up yet. That's what it was. And I think that you just got to do it. If you're backing the guy, you just need to put out a definitive statement saying, I am backing him, instead of a very carefully worded post that completely omits any personal endorsement for the job. Because this is just unnecessary palace intrigue. I mean, Hegseth is being put through the grinder right now. And part of the reason that Hegseth is being put through the grinder is because people smell a weakness somewhere. The press senses a weakness somewhere. They are like, well, why isn't Trump coming out super hardcore for Hegseth? Let's push this more. They think they found a weak spot and they're going to try to push it more and exploit it more. and then they're going to drag all these other people in it. And then in the meantime, the narrative goes out that so-and-so senator or this senator or that senator, they oppose Hegseth. Whether or not it's, I mean, Joni Ernst was out there denying it yesterday. She was out there saying that there's absolutely no campaign that she has against Hegseth. She may be a moderate. I mean, I don't know. You can, whether or not you believe her is up to you. She may be a moderate, but she's out there saying that she's not campaigning against him. She's criticized him before, but she's said that she's not campaigning against him. And in the meantime, you know, like I said, you have these lawmakers that are being pressured by different factions that are organized to promote certain candidates, certain nominees. And now you're creating all of this division and infighting on the right, which we cannot have. I'll leave it to Republicans to shoot themselves in the foot. It's amazing. So one of the reasons why there's all this noise around Hegseth is absent a strong, hard-ass endorsement, personal endorsement. So that tells me Trump has not made up his mind yet. Because if he believed it, he would be out there saying he's going to be the next Secretary of Defense. He doesn't just say he will be a high-energy Secretary of Defense. Trump would say, I want him as my high-energy Secretary of Defense. I want him as Secretary of Defense. The nation needs him as Secretary of Defense. I believe in my pick. He's come out hardcore, personally endorsing with I, and this is my nominee, this is my pick previously. Look at some of the letterhead selections that he's given thus. He's given them out there. So this seems to be a very carefully worded, hasn't totally made up my mind yet kind of statement. But he's not, it's a statement where he doesn't want to suggest that he doesn't back Hegseth. But it's definitely a statement that has not, that's left the door open on considering other people. Absolutely. You guys, again, you know Trump well enough. If he believes, he's going to say, I mean, for crying out loud, he called, what did he call? Rocket Man, North Korea's leader. He's threatened people with his bigger button. If he wants it, he's going to come out and say, I want this, and these senators are going to help make this happen. He's done it before. So like I said, this statement signals to me the door's still open. His mind's not made up. And that just perpetuates the palace intrigue. So all of this is going to keep going until there is a definitive. He's made the nomination, but it's clearly not definitive. So we'll see. We got more on this. We got headlines coming up as well on the way, so you don't want to miss. As we move, our partners, Preborn is a great organization that's been working with women all across the nation, and they meet women where they are. They assist them in navigating the difficult decisions that come when you choose life, whether a woman is whether she you know got pregnant unplanned, or she's worried about her ability to be a single parent, whatever the situation is. Preborn is there with the mother every step of the way. And they do this first by providing ultrasounds. And you make that happen because your donations make it happen. Every single time, and every donation amount matters. Every single donation helps in bringing these ultrasounds to these women. Because women, when moms see their baby's image in an ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, that baby's chance for life doubles. They've done numerous studies on this. So you can donate this Giving Tuesday, the gift that reaches eternity, and help them reach their goal of providing 1,500 ultrasounds to save more babies. And it's super simple to donate. And you can double your impact with matching gifts. And this is, I mean, it's a huge impact, and you can make this be part of this before the year ends. But don't wait. Your donation today can help save the lives of babies. And Preborn, by the way, also partners with moms all the way up until the toddler years with things that they need, maternity, diapers, etc. Donating is simple. Visit preborn.com/Dana to donate, or dial #250, say the keyword baby. And they want to reach the goal of 1,500 ultrasound sponsorships. That's preborn.com/Dana, #250, keyword baby.
The IRS wants to do your tax returns. The IRS now has a $114 million budget to expand their direct file program. Filing with the IRS is like playing poker with mirrored sunglasses. Don't show your cards.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so for... I just buried my window. First up, this is... It's Blue Cross Blue Shield Anthem. This is wild. They halted anesthesia payments, their payment policy, after backlash. So they had planned to cap the length of time that anesthesia could be covered during medical procedures in three states. What? They said they were not going to go ahead with this policy change that was going to limit reimbursements for anesthesia during surgery and medical procedures. The new policy would have reimbursed doctors based on time limits set by the insurer. So just, this is so Canadian, a time limit set by a suit at a desk. Anthem BCBS, one of the largest in the U.S., quietly announced it for Connecticut, New York, and Missouri beginning February. It outraged the American Society of Anesthesiologists. The policy update went unnoticed, but then after United Healthcare CEO was shot and until the CEO was shot and killed, and then that sparked a wave of online vitriol about the healthcare system, and that's when this came out. Wow. New York and Connecticut were trying to stop the plan from going into effect, but I'm mystified. First off, we wouldn't have this problem if it was private insurance and everybody could get it and it was portable and we didn't have the absolute hideous disaster that is Obamacare. And anyone who says that Obamacare is great is the product of incest and on meth. Okay. Seriously, because it's a disaster. This is crazy. Like, okay, so you're done with your anesthesia now. Hope your procedure's done. Not going to get, oh my gosh. I'm coming back to this. Bookmark. All right, tech fail. AI cameras issued parking tickets to 3,800 drivers for blocking bus lanes, and then they realized that it was a wrong thing. The AI messed up. It was supposed to, it showed that none of these people did anything wrong. The cameras were not properly programmed for the routes that they were covering. This is why I don't believe any of this is accurate. I will literally show up in court prepared to wage an all-day war over a red light camera ticket. I absolutely will. Like, I will take days off work. I will study up on every case. I will show up and I will waste that court's time all damn day. Amen. Not kidding you. If you want to do that, let's do it. All of this stuff, this camera stuff, this is, again, no due process. None. Even if for something small like this. A black church coalition is calling for Al Sharpton to be suspended over the moral stain of taking money from Kamala Harris. Fight, fight. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends over at Caltech, the P15. It stands for 15 pews. It's the lightest, thinnest, most easily concealable 9mm double stack mag that's on the market. And there's nothing else that comes close. They have two versions, metal and polymer. Metal frame version has the really gorgeous wood panel. It has these wood grain panels that I just think give it a total... I was actually having a debate with a friend about what genre of James Bond. I say the Sean Connery, like 60s, 70s, sort of 70s, you know, maybe James Bond. It's a great looking gun. The polymer version, gator grip texture. It comes with two standard capacity magazines. One's a 15 round minimal pinky extension. The other is a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds as well. Tritium fiber optic front sight. You got a fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. A lifetime warranty, super compact, great for concealed carry self-defense, whether you're a newbie or an old pro at it. It's more dependable, yet game-changing innovation from the people who literally created the micro-compact pistol category. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at keltecweapons.com. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I will leave this chamber with a sense of achievement, but in truth, I will also leave with the recognition that I did not achieve everything I had hoped. Among other things, the scourge of partisan politics has frustrated repeated efforts to stabilize our national debt.
Oh, boy, bye. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this first hour. That's Mitt Romney, who's saying that he's leaving. He says that, I love how he said, a country's character is a reflection of its elected officials, and we must be voice of unity and virtue. Little known, but very true fact. This was back during the 2012 presidential election. And I was one of the token conservatives at CNN. And when I would go on, one of my biggest criticisms, because obviously the hot topic of debate was, this was Obamacare, and it was about Obamacare, and it was also about how really Republicans made it difficult to argue against Obamacare because the Republican Party nominee for the election that year was Mitt Romney, who, when he was governor of Massachusetts, literally created Obamacare first and introduced, backed it and introduced it zealously into the state. And I was very critical of that. And I was not hyperbolic. I was very honest. I was just the facts. And I talked about all the things that Romney did leading up to, you know, the introduction of it to the state legislature, the passage of it, how he repeatedly defended it. And that made his campaign livid. So the Romney campaign, and I also was still a radio host at the time, too. So I was on CNN as a contributor and I was still hosting this program. And the Romney campaign would, they refused to come on my radio program. That was first and foremost. They would not come on the radio program. And then I found out later, well, actually, it was still at the time I found out through one of the people who work with the contributors that he was demanding, his campaign was demanding that I be pulled from air or that I only go on air with a Romney surrogate. Because they were saying that it was, I can't remember the exact wording, but they were very vociferously angry there or critical of my criticisms of his tenure as governor of Massachusetts and his introduction of Obamacare and the problem that created for Republicans. Because that was one of the things that Obama and Democrats always cited as why, you know, this is going to pass and why it should, because Republicans did it first. And so he tried to get me pushed out at CNN. Absolute fact. Tried to get me pushed out at CNN. And then it was then when CNN was like, no, we're not going to get rid of her. I've had Republicans and Democrats try to get me fired from CNN. It's a trip. And then his campaign demanded that, well, at the very least, I should be put on only with a Romney surrogate. And to CNN's credit, well, I mean, they probably liked the infighting. They said, no, we're not going to do that either. So they listened to Media Matters more than they listened to Mitt Romney at the time. So I've given you that full disclosure because that has fueled my dislike of him as a politician to be a little bit hotter than my dislike of most politicians. And there's a personal aspect to it because this guy literally tried to get me booted from a network because I was critical, accurately so, of his moderate record. And yes, I did have Mitt Romney actual flip-flops that said Mitt Romney on them, which I wore. But that's beside the point. He puts this veneer of religious family man on, but he is just as dirty as all the other politicians. Just because he can put on, you know, I just remember when Jesus would tell his disciples, you know, when you're fasting, don't make a show of it, right? Like the Pharisees do. You know, you don't need to put on all the robes and the ash and do all the, I mean, he told his disciples, you don't need to do that. Don't be performative. Do it from the heart. And it just reminded me of that because there are a lot of, and he's one of them, a lot of politicians that really hide behind this veneer that they've constructed, but they're just as dirty as everybody else. Just as dirty, just as underhanded, just as petty and mean-spirited as everybody else. So that's kind of, I mean, I'm glad to see him go because he has been an anchor on the neck of conservatism. And that's an accurate statement. And I have not in any point changed my position on his moderate record. And he never got into the White House. He never got me booted from CNN. And now he's leaving the Senate and I'm still here. So I'm fine with being consistent. And I will add, I caught a lot of hell from Republicans back in 2012 for that. I lost a lot of friends. And that's when I first really saw that just because someone's on your side politically doesn't mean they really are. And not every R after every name is the same shade of red. So I bring that up because I think consistency is important. And consistency is a great tool of refuting any kind of accusation of hypocrisy or changing. I mean, it's consistency is key. And the reason I bring this up is because of this stuff with Joni Ernst, like we were talking about. And this has to do with the Hegseth stuff and, you know, this palace intrigue. I think that Trump could end all of the palace intrigue by saying, I stand behind my nominee. This is my nominee and I want him a SecDef and let's make this happen. His statement fell short of that. And you guys all know it. Nobody's saying it, but you guys all know it. I don't like to see him put through the grinder like that unnecessarily. I don't want a nominee to get that so badly dinged up before the confirmation process that the confirmation process is nothing more than just chiseling in the epitaph and the stone. I don't want to see that. And I also don't like to see the infighting that it creates by lack of a strong, distinct personal endorsement. So now we're seeing, and Joni Ernst is a moderate. She's not a demon, but she's a moderate, right? She's a moderate that I think can be pressed to be more conservative. I have different grades for different politicians. She's always been kind to me, so I don't have any personal dislike of her. There's no personal animus here. But she's a moderate on certain things. There's things I definitely, absolutely do not agree with her on. She says she's not waging an all-out campaign against Hegseth. I don't care enough to, like, I'm not going to spend any capital on anybody saying that they did or didn't. But what I do think is interesting is that yesterday I saw a lot of people criticizing her for her previous positions being weak on certain aspects of gun control, which I've criticized her for too. But I did find it interesting that the same people that were criticizing Ernst for her gun control positions are the exact literal same sacks of meat that were excusing Pam Bondi's gun control. So Pam Bondi, who is being nominated for AG, is a huge gun control supporter. I reject the defense that, well, Pam Bondi only was supporting it because it was after the legislature passed it. And as AG, she has to defend Florida's law. Okay, don't sit here and be like, oh, it's just my job. I got to do it, because we've heard that before throughout the years, particularly 1930s Germany, number one. But number two, she's on record before it even came out of committee in the state legislature of pushing red flag law, of pushing waiting periods, of pushing increasing the age requirement to purchase, and even more. She's on record, both in written word and on video, using her own mouth to talk positively about these issues. So when I talk about consistency, I don't take any of these people seriously who are criticizing one candidate who is wrong on gun control, but excusing the other one politician wrong on gun control, but excusing the nominee for AG for also being wrong on gun control in an even worse manner, even further than the other candidate. You've got to have consistency. Otherwise, do you know what happens? You can fool people some of the time, but you're not going to be able to keep it up, because people aren't dumb. At some point, they, you know, pop their head up from their work or from running the kids here and there or whatever it is. And they start looking around like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. How are you? It's bad here, but it's okay here. It should disqualify. So Joni Ernst's position on gun control should disqualify any complaints that she has about Pete Hegseth, but Pam Bondi's positions on gun control qualify her for the position of AG. How does that work? You see what I mean? Consistency is key. And people are going to wake up and realize, and then a lot of people are going to start losing a lot of influence. It makes zero sense to spend your personal political capital by doing stupid stuff like this. And I will say, and I know people don't want to hear it, you got to have strong leadership and you have to have a strong voice come out and say, this is my nominee. Reject him at your own peril. That's all that needs to be done. In fact, I think if Trump came out with that statement, do you honestly think that any senator is going to stand up and be like, okay, well, I still oppose him? No. No, they're not. Because it's going to put all those people in the weird position of having to make their base happy while also trying to kind of moderate their position to be more mainline Republican and not so much Trump Republican. It puts them in a difficult position, which they need to be put in. So by not doing it the way that it needs to be done, you're also letting these people off the hook. That's doing it 4D chess style. This is just, he hasn't made a decision yet, and it's a statement that was not a strong statement, and it was uncharacteristic. I don't think he's made up his mind. And I think it's because the factions are fighting it out. And I mean, the good news is that we've got a lot of good people that we can. I mean, we're not Democrats, for crying out loud. Our only options aren't that dude from the Penguin from Gotham, J.B. Pritzker, and Gavin Newsom, which, by the way, you guys know that Democrats are getting ready to pitch them, right? You know that they're going. Pritzker's already made it clear he wants to run. Not kidding you. Pritzker's going to run. Newsom's going to run. You're going to have Big Gretch. Big Gretch is going to get in. Poot Booty Juice still thinks that he's the chosen one. He believes that he is the golden Bob the Builder and that he can come out and he's still going to run. He's got to make that bank. He doesn't have an administration position in January anymore. How is he going to grift, guys? He's going to actually have to get a job, like in the private sector, a job. Good night. These people don't like to work. You know that. They want to be on glorified welfare, which is what an elected office truly is. So what is he going to do? These are the stooges. They're going to run. So we are not like Democrats. We have a little room to say, you know what? I want a little more from you. I want a little more boldness from you. I don't want no statement that leaves lots of daylight in places. I want something definitive and hardcore. I want a statement that kicks people's teeth in. That's what I want. That ends the palace intrigue, that puts everybody in line. And he can do it. He just got to make up his mind. He needs to make up his mind what he wants to do. But again, there's no bad news scenario in this. So don't be led to believe that everything has got to be burn it to the ash war. If I were a Democrat, I would want you to believe that so you undercut your greatest strength. But since I'm not, I don't want us to do that. We're not Democrats. We don't have like no choices. Gosh, can you imagine being a Democrat? Those are your choices. Imagine, America, you're a Democrat. I guess all we have is Newsom and Pritzker and Big Gretch. And then Amy Klobuchar comes in and throws a comb at somebody. I don't know. That's who you have. Who else do they got? They don't got anybody. Seriously? He'll go out and pretend to have another baby and chest feed for like the first, even if he were elected, the first half, you know, his first half term. Good night. If you're looking for a convenient, affordable way to access medications and treatments you can trust, All Family Pharmacy has you covered. Whether it's the flu or parasites, cancer support, or general well-being, All Family Pharmacy's online service makes getting the medications you need hassle-free. With All Family, it's simple. You can choose the individual medications that best suit your needs or opt for one of their comprehensive treatment packages designed to give you everything that you need in one convenient order. And every order comes with a doctor's prescription included. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or any other effective medications, they have it all. And you can get fast shipping with most orders shipping in 2 to 3 business days. Medications start as low as $3 per capsule, making it really easy to take charge of your health without breaking the bank. No insurance needed. You can skip the paperwork and get the treatments you need directly. Stock up with their emergency preparedness bundles and access over 200 medications online anytime. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and use code Dana10 for 10% off of your entire order. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
There's a little bit of controversy about that podcast because you did.
Oh.
Do you know about this?
No, what?
Because in D.C., this interview happened in D.C.
Yeah.
In a hotel.
Yeah. Not in a hotel. It was like a random house.
It was like random house. But apparently, you can tell me, they spent, meaning the Harris campaign spent like $100,000.
I did see
you
that.
About this?
It's hilarious.
To build the studio.
Yeah, that's not
to
true.
To make it look like it was the studio that you used in L.A.
My studio that is gorgeous in Los Angeles doesn't even cost six figures. So I don't know how cardboard walls could cost
six figures.
Six figures, but...
But do you think they did that? I mean, you saw
it. Absolutely not. With love to them. Oh, my God. It was gorgeous. But, like, it wasn't that nice. It wasn't, like, gorgeous marble. Like, no, that was not six figures.
Why was it allowed to happen? First off, oh, my gosh. Our set, my set is not, And she's talking about, this is a podcast I was talking about Kamala Harris. The interview that she did, they created this fake set, and that's six figures on it. My studio, so behind me is not just a television. It is a giant floor-to-ceiling LED wall. It is legit. It is super not cheap. It's not six figures. I have my tactical walls loaded up with all of my actual real Kel-Tec guns, and also not six figures. I have a custom huge desk with a 4.5 foot wide gamer screen, custom mic, everything custom, a super bougie, like, you know, ergonomical chair that also props me up, and full lighting rig, total pro build out, pro cameras. Yep. Like, these are like the cameras that you would find at Fox or ABC or CNN. That's why I don't look dim or hazy. We have nobody in podcasting has better cameras than we do for our simulcast. Yep. Literally nobody in the business in podcasting or doing digital shorts has the kind of cameras I do. Not six figures. What? Why? When do they not money launder? That's the question. This was money laundering. Stick with us. Second hour coming up. The thing that aggravates me is people are like, well, I just don't want to go into a gun-free zone. That's great. I would love to have that luxury. I don't. I have a job that requires me to go places where I can't always carry because, you know, I've got a roof to keep over my head and people to feed and, you know, bills to pay, just like everybody else. But I am not going to make myself defenseless. I am not one of those people who have any issue using lethal force, protecting themselves or their loved ones. And I will always encourage you to carry. I also think that you need to have a diversified array at your disposal so that you're ready for any type of situation. And this is where the Byrna gun comes in. It's a non-firearm firearm. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. And when you compare it to regular, like, stun guns, they have like one or two shots. Byrna SD, their most popular selling model, has five rounds. And it gives you a defensive option when the state or a private entity is trying to deny you of a force multiplier, a way to defend yourself. There's no background check. There's no waiting period. It's illegal in all 50 states, and they can ship it right to your front door. It also does not care about gun-free zone signs. So when your options of defense are limited, the Byrna gun is a great alternate choice. So check it out. You can visit Byrna.com/Dana. That's the only place where you can get 10% off. I mean, you can buy it elsewhere, but you're not going to get a 10% discount unless you go through Byrna.com/Dana. That's Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. We're also on channel 347 DirecTV. Chats at Rumble. We're on X. All those good places. So I was shocked, sort of. I saw, this is from Canada. I don't know if you saw this. This is what they kicked out last night. And I tweeted about it, for those of you who follow me on X. It was pretty wild. The Canadian government is essentially going to turn itself into an arms dealer by confiscating guns from Canadians and then sending them to Ukraine. At least that's what their public safety minister has announced. Dominic LeBlanc. Audio soundbite 19. Listen to this.
Today, the government is adding a further 324 unique makes and models of assault-style firearms to the list of prohibited firearms in Canada. This prohibition takes effect immediately. This means these firearms can no longer be legally used, sold or imported in Canada, and can only be transferred or transported under extremely limited circumstances. As part of that process, the government of Canada has committed to the Ukrainian government to identify whether some of these guns could be donated to support the fight for democracy in Ukraine.
Oh, because that's what we think it is. Really? Okay. Wow. 324 different firearms, an immediate ban. And by the way, that guy looked like he was wearing rouge on his cheeks. I'm not the, tell me that I'm not the only person that saw that, right?
Saw
that thought it as well. So they're banning all different types of firearms, and they want to 324, and they want to donate them to Ukraine. They said they're working with the government to see how they can donate the guns. What in the world? The restrictions they said are going to be implemented immediately. This means these firearms can no longer be used. And this was after they banned 1,500 previously. 1,500 makes and models of firearms. Now that number's grown to 2,000. The first ban was in May of 2020. And they said this guy, this fruitcake, says firearms designed for the battlefield plainly do not belong in our communities. I don't know. Are they sending Canadians out to war with semi-auto?
I hope not.
This is the same stupid argument that we keep having over and over again. People who have no idea about firearms, they have no idea about what the military uses. They have no idea about any of these things, but they are taking it upon themselves to determine your rights based on their ignorance. That's a crime. It should be. And the, I mean, that's what they're calling for. They're demanding this. This is what they're, I mean, it's pretty, it's in Canada, but I love the idea that first they called it a buyback, and then now some of them are just outright saying confiscation. But they're turning themselves into arms dealers with this. I mean, that's, I mean, I know it's Canada. They've really gotten super far left, have they not?
Oh, yeah.
Super far left. So they're in Montreal, by the way, they are demanding a total ban on all semi-automatic rifles before roll out a buyback. And so now they have this. Now they have this full-on ban. Thousands of models. Apparently, there are like a couple that are allowed, and that's it. And those will be banned. That's just a matter of time before the ones that are not banned already are banned. And if you have a banned model in Canada, you can't do anything with it, not even sell it to the government because they haven't rolled out their buyback system yet. Because they want a total ban before they do the buyback. That's at least officials in Montreal and elsewhere in Canada. They said that they want a complete list and they need to have everything banned before they move forward with any kind of buyback, which it's already a nightmare. It's already a mess. I don't know where are you getting the money to do any kind of buyback in the first place? Toronto, I wanted to pull this piece up. There's a piece I was reading. My friend Tom Knighton covered how the anti-gun efforts, particularly in Toronto, have backfired. Because Justin Trudeau had been bragging about his success with gun control, etc. And Toronto law enforcement are scratching their heads saying, what? They said that they banned handguns. They froze. They had a federal handgun freeze to address the influx of black market firearms. And officers are dealing with gang violence. Toronto's a mess. Vancouver's a mess because of it. They have tons of gang violence in British Columbia. Trudeau only looks at the firearms. He doesn't do anything about the actual gangs. So you're not really solving the problem, are you? You're just making it harder for the innocent. The idea that you're going to make laws based on criminal behavior and not based on lawful behavior is insane. You're punishing the law-abiding for what criminals are doing. That's unfair. Why should your rights be forfeit because someone chooses to engage in criminality? That's like saying we're going to ban all cars because people are engaging in criminality with their vehicles. It's a stupid logic. But this is wild. So when we talk about, well, let's make Canada, let's just go ahead and annex them. I don't want to, because people voted for this. Their lawmakers all want this. I don't want these people. I don't want to have a bunch of gun control people and make them part of my country. Hell no. Their gun control is not working in Canada at all either, by the way. And not just in Toronto or Vancouver. I mean, really anywhere in Canada where it's been implemented. It's just been a mess. For instance, this story is CBC. They said They keep saying gun violence is on the rise, but when you read the article, it's not gun violence, which is a stupid phrase. It's increased gang activity. But they don't want to say that it's increased gang activity. They want to scare you and use those people, use criminals as a way to bully people into giving up their rights. It's a record-breaking gang violence in Toronto. I mean, gangs and drugs galore. And guess what? When you have a gang problem, Kane, what do gangs like to use in commission of felonious activity?
Weapons and guns.
That's right, weapons and guns. Because, you know, drug dealers and gangbangers don't just say please and thank you, right? They don't just use please and thank you unless that's what they named their black market acquired weapons, you know. This is please, this one thank you. Please and thank you. So, man, Canada's got it rough. They got it rough. And now it looks like they're going to go after absolutely everything. It is wild. We got more on this. We also have the Daniel Penny trial. The jury's deadlocked in the verdict. They told the judge they were unable to come to a decision on the charge of manslaughter. And they were waiting for instructions from the judge. The verdict, that what they were being asked to determine, first count, second degree manslaughter, before potentially moving on to the second count, which was criminally negligent homicide. So second degree manslaughter, meaning he had him in a chokehold, wasn't aware, and just didn't know that he would, you know, didn't know that he would kill him. And then the second one was that he knew and he was doing it anyway, not able to recognize, you know, the graveness of the situation. But I think both of these are predicated upon Jordan Neely being dead by the time that Daniel Penny let him go, and he wasn't. How are you asking Daniel Penny to be convicted on a manslaughter charge when Jordan Neely was still alive after? How are you trying to convict Daniel Penny on a manslaughter charge when Jordan Neely was on so much drugs? Who knows if he would have been alive later in the day? Man's OD'd, I don't know how many times. He was in and out of the hospital because the drug use complicated his health. I don't know how many times. He was violent. Who's to say that? That's just asinine. And to go after somebody like Daniel Penny. What they're asking the jury to determine is whether or not anyone has the right to live their lives unassaulted, unmolested, unattacked, unthreatened. That's what they're asking. Because apparently there is a protected class in the United States that if you check so many boxes, you can do whatever you want to people. I mean, clearly, he had a warrant out for his arrest because he bashed some lady in the face. He broke an elderly woman's nose, tried to kill another woman by throwing her on the train tracks. Of course, don't forget he was on video trying to take a seven-year-old. Yeah, precious little Jordan Neely. So dangerous that even Reddit, full of conservatives and far-left liberals, all came together in one thread and were like, everybody be aware of this platform. There's a very dangerous guy here. It's a thread that's still up on Reddit. Tons of comments. Even before this happened, there were tons of comments on it. This guy's dangerous. Be careful. All these people were sharing their experiences of how he threatened them and all this stuff. It was only a matter of time. And as Eric Adams had said, you know, New York didn't do what New York should have done. People pay taxes. They pay taxes with the expectation, actually, it's stolen from them. No one actually expects anything from the government. The government, by way of forcibly taking your money under penalty of threat, has culpable deniability and not being able to follow through with the forced investment of your tax dollars. So in New York, these people paid their tax money for what? The promise of police protection? The promise that violent criminals are going to be thrown in jail? The promise that the streets are going to be safer? The promise that they'll be able to ride the subway unmolested, unassaulted? Because New York failed. And not just in this case. There was another case where a guy was murdered by another Jordan Neely-like character on a subway platform. That was, what, months before Jordan Neely. New York failed taxpayers in this situation. They're not allowed to defend themselves. Hell no. Heaven forbid you have a weapon. And now you don't even have to have a weapon. Everyone's like, Jordan Neely was unarmed. So was Daniel Penny. He was also unarmed. And guess who else was unarmed? The woman with the baby that Jordan Neely threatened. Guess who else was unarmed? The elderly woman who was threatened. Prosecutors are saying, well, no one was threatened specifically. I think that when you get in the face of a mother that's trying to shield her baby with her stroller and you're screaming, I'm going to kill you, I will kill you all, that sounds like a pretty damn specific threat. You tell me if you think it's a specific threat if a known violent offender is screaming in your baby's face that they're going to murder her. Oh, they didn't say her name. Jordan Neely didn't like ask to see her Costco card and then read her name aloud to the subway platform. You morons. Always an excuse for the violent. I feel like this state hates innocent people. This is New York hates innocent people. I don't go to New York for nothing anymore. I used to have to go all the time for work and I still don't go back. I don't like to go to New York for nothing. My gosh, what happens if someone would try to attack me, or if a man were to try to attack, and I would defend myself? Hell, I might be thrown into jail too. They're throwing everybody in jail in New York. You don't even have to be guilty of an offense, as you saw with Trump. They'll just make it up. Like with Alvin Bragg. Which brings me back to my point. Stop supporting damn Republicans that are against the due process and the offenses against which I'm talking about right here. Stop supporting lawmakers that don't honor due process, regardless if they got an R after their name. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their 3-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. And then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The Michigan AG urges residents to play music outside to combat Christmas porch pirates after one person in the country illegally was arrested for stealing iPhone packages in one neighborhood. So the Michigan AG, they're saying, please play, just try to dissuade them with Christmas lights and holiday music. So you're going to put them in a more festive mood to steal. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from you. That's so goofy. Why? Stop, people. Stop, stop. Also, let's see. A Canadian man jumped on a polar bear. Woo. To defend his wife from being attacked. Brave man. They were in the far north. He leapt on the bear to protect his wife from being mauled. He suffered serious injuries, but is going to recover. The couple left their house to find their dogs when a bear in the driveway of their home lunged at her. They live north of Ontario, far, far north. She slipped to the ground. The husband leapt on the animal to prevent it from attacking. It attacked him. He's got serious but non-life-threatening injuries to his arms and legs. A neighbor arrived with a gun, shot the bear several times, and it succumbed to its injuries. It retreated into the woods. They're patrolling the area to make sure that there were no bears in the area. They said that when an attack occurs, it's because the bear's often hungry, young, and unwell. Or you're a snack and it's a bear. You know, there's just that. Right? I mean, the hungry part, that's kind of what it is, you know. Let's see here. Men are more likely to have financial secrets than women, says a study. I think I believe that. I think maybe. I don't know what kind of financial secrets, but they said this survey only looked at 220 Americans, and they said that 77% of men have more financial secrets than compared to women, whatever that means. Stick with us. We got a lot more next with the latest with the penny case, cabinet picks, etc. Black Rifle Coffee Company. Look, I love their coffee because I'm really picky. Starbucks tastes horrible. A lot of the other coffee companies out there that say they roast their beans here in the USA, they don't. They get it from Canada or Brazil, and then they put a sticker on a pre-roasted bag, and then they sell it like it's fresh. Let's be real. Black Rifle Coffee doesn't do that. Veteran-owned, veteran-operated. They hire active duty and vets and retired. and they just do, they do a really good job, and they're nerds about coffee, and I'm glad that they're nerds about coffee, because I don't want to know how it's made. I just want it to taste good. And Black Rifle Coffee has so many amazing roasts. They have their Freedom Roast right now, which is totally what the Founding Fathers would have drank if Black Rifle Coffee like had anachronistically existed back in the times of our founders. They totally would have. You know, Washington would have had a cup a day. More. You can save 20% using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com. Every sip of the Freedom Roast is a celebration of liberty and a tribute to those who fought for our awesome republic. You can subscribe to their coffee club, get your free shipping, automated orders sent straight to your doorstep, and never, ever, ever run out of your favorite coffee. No need for last minute trips. And if you're stocked up on coffee, but you still need some Christmas ideas, they got whole bean K-cups, ready to drink, apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Their apparel is really popular, by the way, with the young dudes too. So just an idea. So get your freedom on with the Freedom Roast. Check out the merch at blackriflecoffee.com and taste all their top shelf roasts like Just Black, Silence or Smooth, always a favorite. Whatever you decide, though, 20% off with code Dana. 20% off code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
So I have the latest with the Daniel Penny case, but really quickly, we were talking about that Canadian government official who wants, they're banning all the guns in Canada, and then they said they're going to give them to Ukraine. Guys, what is the over-under on me convincing Canada that I am Ukraine? And you can send your guns to me. Yes, I am Ukraine. You can send them to I am Ukraine at One Ukraine Drive in Dallas, Texas. That's where you can send them. Let's make some up. You can send them there. I'll take them. I'll take the guns. Go ahead and give me all your guns. Canada. Go ahead. Give them all to me. I'll take them all. I'll take them for you.
That's right.
Yeah. That's all right. Right? Yeah. They'll be banned there. I can have them here. It's totally fine.
For Ukraine and for Meekrane.
Oh, that's right. Ukraine and Meekrane. Right. That's right. Well, I mean, for Ukraine, but Meekrane. Meekrane too. We'll send them to Ukraine. Meekrane too. Hello. All right. So the Daniel Penny deliberations, apparently, so the two counts, Lorraine noted this too, the jury, because they have a deadlock jury, and they said that the judge said, read them the Allen charge, to go back and be flexible, is mulling letting the DA drop count one, told the jury to consider count two. So, how are you not guilty on count two if you've got to throw, if you're being told to just throw out count one?
That's a legit question.
How does that work? La, 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 la. How does that work? How, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. So, you're with the first count that's related to the second count. Because remember, it was, what was it, second degree manslaughter or negligent homicide. Right. So, and no, he didn't mean to kill him. Okay. So we got to throw that out. So then how do you not throw out also, he was aware and he killed him anyway. What? Yeah, how does that, what does that mean? That doesn't even make any sense. Oh my gosh. So I don't. This is a poo show, isn't it? So they said they couldn't agree on the top charge. And then the judge is like, just keep delivering. Just keep doing it. Just keep deliberating. This is really a mess. And when he said the Allen charge, so the way that I understand the Allen charge is that it's instructions. So it's instructions that are given to the jury that encourage them to make to come up with a verdict, to determine a verdict, agree on one. And the Allen charges, the last time I heard of something like this being used, and I'm pulling up something to make sure I'm accurate on this, is because isn't this where a lot of pressure can come into play? And that's like what you don't want to happen with a jury. Some say that they can overly pressure the jury to change their opinions by And so states, a lot of states don't allow Allen charges. Federal courts can use them, but not every state allows Allen charge. And that comes from this case, like back in the days of yore, like Allen v. U.S. So the Supreme Court ruled that you can't allow these in the federal court, but they're not allowed in every state. So that's interesting. So these two charges, I still don't understand how you can throw out the first and then not come to a not guilty verdict on the second. Because the jury wanted instructions. The prosecutors had to prove that Penny acted with such a degree of recklessness and that constitutes a criminality. And I don't know how you, if you find the defendant not guilty on count one, I mean, you definitely, I mean, I just don't see, this is just so dumb. This is so dumb. This is such a clown show. Count two was the lesser charge. That was criminally negligent homicide. And that carries 4 years in prison. And so they were told to, you know, think, go back over count two at least. So I mean, manslaughter, second degree manslaughter. Again, I just don't see how you don't come out with a not guilty on the second one, on the second charge. We're going to come back to this and follow it continually because this is just, it's self-defense. Your self-defense is on trial in this Jordan, in this Daniel Penny case. It's just wild to me that, I don't know, that's just super wild. Now, in addition to this, couple things. Did you guys, by the way, see Joe Biden at the Rock? Was he at the Rockefeller tree? He was at the tree lighting. I used his photo. It was on our. This morning's headlines. His hair. He just doesn't look. I don't think he cares anymore. He was there, and he looked like the ghost of Christmas past. This is what he looked like. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't look so great. And you don't hear anything about Kamala Harris except for the six figures that we talked about that last hour that she spent. Juan's showing you the picture. It's like a scary Hallmark movie. His hair's just crazy. And apparently he looked at the press and yelled at them, "Why are you still here?" He apparently yelled at the press, "Why are you still here? Yeah, get off my lawn." I just feel like he didn't care. That's Biden. Just the other day.
Does that even look like him?
Well, I mean, it kind of does.
I don't know, that mask. They really didn't fix the hair.
Stop it.
They didn't fix the hair on that mask.
Oh, my gosh. You and some of my family. You're not, y'all know a lot of talk.
Like Doc.
So I have a great aunt who sends me. I don't ever check Facebook messages, but she lives on Facebook. And I get it. Because she's, you know, that's like where she can, that's the hip place for her to plug in. And she'll message certain things. And like, did you see this story? This was like a year ago when she was like, did you see this of the masks? He's wearing one of them masks. This is a person in a Biden mask. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not. I had to correct her. I was like, please don't post this on your Facebook wall. Please don't.
How do you know she was wrong? You don't know that.
What?
You don't know.
Don't be friends with my family. You guys all work yourselves up.
We already back channel talk.
So at my birthday dinner, Kane sat next to my mom, and you guys like all worked yourselves up with conspiracy theories.
No, we didn't get worked up at all. It was nice confirmation bias.
Yeah,
and good food.
Now Juan's just playing picture pages with the hair. I'm watching him in the monitor. He's getting it all set up.
Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy.
Shots.
Where are his earmuffs?
I'm telling you, that mask just isn't fitting right.
By the way, where, like, you're an old dude. No, your wife didn't go put a hat on your head. Look, everybody else is all, but why would he not have a sock cap on or something?
Right. Needs a scrunchie or something.
Well, I mean, at the very least, it's cold out. Clearly, it's windy. He looks uncomfortable.
Wow.
I don't know. He's mean, so who knows?
If you want some local reporting on this, the drive from my office to my apartment is 8 miles, and they shut down the White House for this thing. Guess how long it took me to get home yesterday?
About, oh my gosh!
About an hour.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Poor Steve. It's just a mess. It's a mess. Yeah, the headline at New York Post was Biden shocks with long wispy hair. This is the White House Christmas tree lighting. His white billowy hair. Does that look billowy though?
Billowy is how they said. They described it as billowy?
Yeah. White House press corps they was said to have been spooked because he seemed older and ghostlier. Is that a thing, ghostlier? I mean, I guess so.
Ghost of Christmas present?
Yeah, I mean, apparently.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we're almost to January, guys. We're almost to January. We're almost there. Now, one of the other stories that I have marked down, and this was in your prep emails. This is one of the reasons why you should be a subscriber over at Chapter and Verse. The LA police chief has joined the movement. They're all trying to get ahead of Trump to block illegal immigrants from being deported. This is after the AG of California and the governor have taken similar defensive positions. They said that the department will not enforce these laws according to Special Order 40. And that's a department policy prohibiting action related to immigration status. And instead, he's going to work with the Mexican and Central American consulate offices to protect the immigrant population. Whoa, whoa, whoa. This isn't the immigrant population. This is the illegally in the United States population.
Thank you.
Very different. By the way, how ignorant to assume that by not differentiating, you're assuming that everyone who immigrated here did so illegally. It's so ignorant. Why are Democrats so racist? I just will never understand why they're so racist.
I don't get it.
So he's going on. And then, of course, you have Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, delightful fish, who also saying the similar thing. And this follows Pritzker, the penguin from Gotham, who made a big deal about we're not going to. I want you to watch this now. Not all the Democrats are in total disarray. There's a small group of them that are super hyper-focused on 2028. And people like this LAPD chief and others, like Newsom and Pritzker, they're all going to be using this. Oh, well, we've got to gear up and fight Trump. It's going to be up to us to fight Trump and fight his policies. So all of these, like for an immigration's the first one that they're going to do. They're going to try to, their move around the argument is to persuade people that Trump wants to deport everyone who immigrated in the U.S. They want to conflate illegal immigration with people who come to the country legally and act like they're one and the same. And then they want to act like these governors are and these law enforcement officials are stepping up and we're going to protect these people who are here illegally from lawful accountability. And that's going to be their engine to get them started towards 28. Oh, this is the Democrat response. And then from the ashes are the real Democrat leaders. That's how they're positioning this. Partners at Hillsdale, an actual educational institution. They do such a good job of providing the education that is required to help maintain a free republic. And that's been their mission since their founding in 1844, to embrace learning, character, and faith, and preserve liberty through educational outreach. And that's what it's all about. They're located in Southern Michigan, and it's a small classical Christian university, college there in Southern Michigan. And the outreach that they provide extends beyond their campus in Michigan. So they have tons of resources online, and they're free for you to access. They have their deep dive educational podcast. They have their free speech digest and Primus. They've been giving out pocket constitutions. They have all kinds of videos that you can watch. And in addition to providing the sort of education that's required to preserve our liberty, but they also understand that in times of increased division, the honor code that they have, students are expected and they are taught to respect the rights of others and, live by principles of self-government. And so they've got a great campus. They have a great campus environment. You can learn more about Hillsdale at Dana4Hillsdale.com. Learn what makes them so unique. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I really want to play this video, but I'm told we can't because of the profanities that are in it. It's a 3 minute 35 second clip.
I mean, we're willing to take the chance.
I mean, we do know the
you make it sound like we are restricting
head of
you.
The FCC.
You do. We shouldn't have to bring him in. They'll put any pressure on Brendan Carr like that.
I mean, what's the point of having a chit, C-H-I-T, if you can't call it in? You know what I'm saying?
Right, but then not for something like this.
Yeah, maybe you're right. But play the video anyway. So the 72-year-old Florida man, Dennis Nguyen, Walmart drones keep flying over his house. And so he shot one as it flew over his property.
Yeah.
And the drone was like right above his house. There was someone who said that they won a $10,000 lawsuit for the same thing. And when they arrested him, he goes, I can't breathe. That's what he said. That was just chef's kiss there. Chef's kiss. But, the drone was right over his house. He said he's had issues in his neighborhood with these drones flying right over people's houses in their yards. It's not like they're flying like way up high. And yeah, when they put handcuffs on him, he goes, I can't breathe. The Lake County Sheriff's Office said they found a bullet hole in the payload that the drone was carrying. And he said, you can't be flying your drone in our properties. And he's got a point. I mean, at some point, people have the expectation of privacy on their own property.
Right.
So, I mean, he said at one point, he goes, now they say I hit it, so I must be a good shot. But when they put the cuffs on, he goes, I can't breathe, is what he said. I mean, this guy, he's a legend. I don't got a problem with him. I got to tell you. The officer actually started laughing when he said it, though.
Go by protocol.
We have.
You've been fine. There's no issues. We're not,
Yeah.
Let me know if it's too tight, all right?
Yeah. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
Dang. I mean, I'm just saying. So, what's wrong? I mean, if you're trespassing, you don't know if it's a threat. What if that drone's armed? That's a possibility.
Right.
Nobody knows. People have the expectation of privacy in their own house. Plus, you guys don't appreciate how old school I am. Like, go back to the Wild West. That's how old school I am. Right. Didn't even live there. I'm like, if you're a drone in my yard, pop, it's happening.
Right. If I see a plane flying over at 10,000 or 30,000 feet or wherever I happen to be, I understand that. I get that completely. But if it's a drone that's hovering or something like that, how far up legally is my property?
It's free skeet. That's what it is.
All the way to the...
I see it. I'm going skeet, skeet, skeet. I see it. I want to go at it. I see it.
If I get 5,000 feet, like if I have property 5,000 feet above it, I can defend.
Like it was low enough that he could see it from his window. Apparently, I read another story where he could. That's how low it.
I just want to know if
was. That's a problem.
If there's law that has a limit, like if it's more than 4,000 feet above you, then leave it alone. But if it's less than that, you can do something.
Yeah, apparently. I guess so. I don't know. I'm just, I got a couple of other, I got a lot more. Let's see. A drunk Florida man slammed into a deputy's cruiser during a traffic stop. This guy's face is so jacked up, you guys. Fort Pierce, he's got a history of driving under the influence, this Florida man. It was about 11:30 p.m. this past Saturday. Fort Pierce police tried to conduct a traffic stop. Reckless driver. He wouldn't stop. And then he hit the officer's car. His name is Perry P. Apples. And it looks like he got beaten halfway within an inch of his life. And his mugshot. He looks like a garbage pail kid in his mugshot.
He does.
He totally does. So they took him into custody. And he said that... super slurring. They found open containers of alcohol in the vehicle, all kinds of stuff. And Lorraine sent this one. A Florida man bought a used TV, and then when he switched it on, apparently it was in demo mode. He bought it off of Facebook Marketplace for $300, turned it on, and a Popeye's menu came on from the food chain, and he couldn't get it off the Popeye's menu. And he said, I thought my friends were messing with me. It was like in demo mode or something. And it was like literally the Popeye's menu. He could not get it off the Popeye's menu. And I can't play the video because he's like, it's a blinking Popeye's menu. It's not blinking funny. His friends finally helped him get it off demo mode. I don't know why it was on Popeye's though. Stick with us. Third hour next.
Last night at the Patriot Awards, I think we got a clip. He was doing the Trump dance, and I'm sure you've seen that evolve over the last. As you look right there, like, how do you describe your husband's dance moves?
Oh, this is very special and unique dance.
It is, right?
And I think a lot of people are copying it, and everybody have fun with it.
Yeah, you know? Which part?
Is this how you dance?
No. No.
Which like, part no. of the Trump did you give him any tips? Like in the no. beginning, it was low, and then it was up high, and now there's a golf swing.
Nope, he's I think coming it's hysterical. All on his own.
Have you ever done the Trump dance? You are Mrs. Trump.
I did not.
So I guess you're not going to start today.
That is hysterical. It's like he's got string. Right? It cracks me up. The first time that I saw him do it, I think it was back during his first term, when he was campaigning for his first term, and he did kind of a little thing, and nobody really noticed it. I think people talked about it, and they laughed about it, and then he kind of started, every time he'd get happy, he'd do it. It was funny. Welcome back to the show. I just like the dance because it's hysterical. What was the video that... It was SNL where he was redoing that video. Oh my gosh, who was the guy who was on Nickelodeon and then but acts like he comes from the life of Hard Knocks, School of Hard Knocks? Steve, who am I thinking of?
He did a sketch on SNL where he recreated Drake and Hotline Bling.
Thank you. Yes, he recreated that video, Hotline Bling. That's right. That's what he did. He did that video. And it was funny because that's when he really got into it. And that, I think, really is when it was officially born. And he was doing his Trump dance with his string, his invisible string. This just cracks me up. So welcome back. It's Friday. He was doing it to YMCA. I was reading this story about Victor Willis, the YMCA singer, who says that he supports Trump using the song because it brings joy to the American people. He did an interview about it, and he says he has no problem with it being used, but he said he will sue outlets who call it a gay anthem. He supports Trump using it to bring joy to the American people. He goes, I decided to allow the president-elect's continued use of YMCA because he seems to genuinely like the song, and so many other artists were stopping him from using their music. And he goes, if you were asking me today, if the Village People would perform at the inauguration, I would probably say not because we'd be concerned about endorsement. He goes, however, because he's done so much for YMCA, he goes, the song's actually gone back to number one. It's still number one today. He goes, so if he were to ask the Village People to perform it live for him, we'd have to seriously consider it. But he goes, the song was never gay. And I'm going to sue people who say it's a gay anthem. I am dying. He goes, come January, and then he drops it. He goes, like, come January 2025, my wife and I, we're going to start suing each and every news organization that falsely says it's a gay anthem. I mean, he like went right into it. It's hysterical. This guy cracks me up. But, you know, good for, he's having fun with it. I always hate when people say that, like these artists that go out, like, how dare you use my music? The way it works is they have to license their music. That's how they make more money off of their songs. If they license it for different use, like you can get different licenses, like what can, like for public use, there's like different categories.
Publishing for actual production, for score, you know what I mean? I mean, there's all kinds of different ways that you can attach your name to it. But it's ultimately about ownership of your own music. So by doing that, you're licensing, and you now have the license to decide where that song goes. And if you put it in the public domain and allow it to be purchased, that's just what happens.
Right. It's like similar to what if you're like you're Nike and you're selling shoes. Yeah. Somebody buys your Nike shoes, they can wear them.
Right.
I mean, or you're licensing your logo out for certain. Yeah, I mean, that's
right.
So once they do that, you know, it's okay. I mean, you can't say for him, but not for him. That's not how the licensing works. And that's ASCAP. So you have your ASCAP, BMI ASCAP. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And CSAC.
So I always get mad when I see these musicians go out and say, he can't use our music anymore. Why'd you license it then? I think they do that as a way to get more attention for themselves. So good on this guy. Good on the YMCA guy. It's a joyful song. It is. It's a very joyful song. You know, I got to say. So now I saw this story over, first of all, I think this was over at Red State. So you know how every president gets a presidential library? Okay, well, apparently Biden, I don't know how that's going to work with him. Apparently donors are withholding their contributions because they're livid that he pardoned Hunter. They said it was a, quote, abrupt, clumsy pardon of his son, end quote. And so they're tightening their grip on their wallets. Yep. A couple of different outlets are reporting this, including Axios. You know, that bastion of conservatism.
Oh, yeah.
The, it's called, there's an article over at Axios talking about what's happening behind the curtain. And they're saying, you know, 82-year-old Biden will limp away from the limelight, widely disliked by the public, loathed by many Democrats who blame him for the twin sins of selfishness, running again and pardoning Hunter. And apparently, and Politico mentioned this in another piece, some of Biden's own family are shocked at the vitriol being shown to him by their fellow Democrats. They said that they thought that there would be blowback, but not what was described as a, quote, wicked backlash. Because they are so damn blind and tone deaf. His family, now you can see why Biden makes stupid decisions, because he's surrounded by stupid people. They're shocked that that would get the backlash that it would, especially from other Democrats. You're shocked you haven't been paying attention then. So then, he could have pardoned, you know what, if he would have pardoned Trump and his son Hunter, would that have helped?
Definitely.
With other Democrats, though? Or would that have made Democrats angrier? It would have given him cover in that it was not so much personal for him, right? Maybe. I don't know.
But I think all of the stuff for Trump will have to happen after he's president. So they still have to wait 4 years.
I mean, Biden said his son didn't do anything wrong. Well, then why do you got to pardon him?
Right.
For all a blanket pardon for all this stuff. Why do you got to pardon him then if he did nothing wrong?
Yep.
We had a thing up about that on Instagram on my account. We put it up going over. Remember how not just him, but like the Hakeem Jeffries, everybody was saying, oh, no, but Hunter did nothing wrong. Biden said Hunter did nothing wrong. Well, then now here we are. But they said that as a result of this, these people, because that's where your library comes from, people donate, etc. And it looks like Democrats are not, they don't want to donate to his library. It might be a bookmobile. They said that most Democrats, a YouGov poll, which is a kind of a lefty thing, that 64% of Democrats approve the pardon. 64%. That was a reversal of earlier sentiment, but it's 64% of people that they had described as like Democrats, not even likely voters, registered voters, things like that. However, the other percentage, because the way that they did their polling, it's like, you know, do you approve, strongly, it's either, this was just approve. The strongly approve was a small percentage, but everyone else was strongly disapprove. And the other thing that they're so angry about is the fact that he left so long. Now, when they asked separately whether or not Democrats felt that they were angry that he stayed in the race too long, like 70% of them were angry that they had disapproved of how long he's like strongly disapproved of how long he stayed in the race. So they're angry at him because he pardoned his son, and they're doubly angry at him because he waited so long to get out of the race. And it made it doubly impossible for Democrats. They went in, I felt like they didn't want to waste a good candidate on a fool's errand by using their good candidate to replace Biden. But this is Democrats' own fault. They built Joe Biden. Joe Biden was always a jackass. He really is one of the meanest people. When I was growing up, And I wasn't really aware of politics like in the 80s. You know, I was in, you know, elementary school. And I wasn't really aware. I think the first time I ever saw Biden was on TV during the Clarence Thomas thing. And I remember feeling bad as a kid in a family of Democrats in Southern Missouri for Clarence Thomas, because Joe Biden, in his line of questioning, he was so ignorant to him. And I was a little kid in elementary school watching this. And it was on, and I just remember like playing around the house, and it was on the television, you know. And I remember thinking, this guy is so mean. This old man is so mean. He was an old man even then. He's so mean. And that's the first time that I ever really saw him. And then as I grew up and, you know, you go through become more aware of politics and you study history, I found out how ignorant he was with Reagan. And in different hearings like that, I would see him on TV over and over again. And he was always mad and hateful about something. He was always like super, super ignorant about something. And just a really not a nice guy. And I say this because Democrats built him. They really did. They built him. And they only have themselves to blame. They can, you know, sit here and try to brush it off and accuse everybody else of this stuff. But it's, you know, it's ultimately they're the ones who built him. They made Joe Biden who he is today. So I feel like I don't feel bad for them about any of this, Kane. I don't feel bad about any of this. Audio sent by 5. Senator Fetterman says that he says that Hunter deserves a pardon because it was politically motivated. I disagree on this. Listen.
Well, I think it's undeniable that the case against Hunter Biden was really politically motivated. But I also think it's true that the trial in New York for Trump, that was political as well, too. Now, is that, and in both cases, I think a pardon is appropriate. And I really think collectively, America's confidence in these kinds of institutions have been damaged by these kinds of cases.
But here's the thing. The Hunter Biden case, the pardon wasn't just for one thing. It was for his tax issues in California, which he's guilty. I mean, for crying out loud, that had nothing to do with politics. The family was switching money around to their different shell companies, and the amounts that they were moving triggered the banks to investigate. So that had nothing to do with politics. That's standard operating procedure. The gun charge, that's not politically motivated. You know what's been politically motivated is stripping FFLs of their licenses over grammatical errors because you're looking for any way possible to shut down retailers. That's politically motivated. So you can't just say that all of the things that Hunter Biden is being charged with, they're not even remotely all the same. They didn't even start remotely all at the same time. Oh my gosh, like the bank thing, that was like even before the laptop. That's how shady this family is. So no, it wasn't political. It was not all political prosecutions. None of it was with Hunter, really. It really wasn't. The New York thing, to take an expired misdemeanor and attach a mystery charge to it to falsify its elevation to a federal charge is asinine. That is political.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently two Delta flight attendants failed a breathalyzer test right before an international flight. Do they have to take breathalyzers before they? Yeah. Really? I mean, they're not flying the plane. They got pulled after failing a breathalyzer in Amsterdam on Friday. They were randomly tested by Dutch authorities before a flight to JFK. And a female attendant had a 0.02. So it was 7 times over the legal limit. Honestly, can I be real? Yeah, 0.02. Like, what's their limit there?
0.08 is the legal limit, so she's under the legal limit?
They said that the female flight attendant showed blood alcohol, 7 times over the legal limit. A male flight attendant failed by 0.02.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. So, honestly, like, I like a lot of flight attendants, but some of them probably need to be drunk to offer better service. So I don't know if some of them need to chill out, you know what I mean? So I feel like, I don't know if I'm for this. Yeah, I'm just saying, I gotta be honest. So let's see. I don't care. Scammers are using bogus QR codes on parking meters. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. Why would anybody do that though? Like, don't just scan stuff and do. Yeah. But the FBI said that they're hijacking QR codes. They're placing stickers with codes they create on top of the real QR code. And then that directs you to phishing websites where people can steal personal or financial information. Just be careful about this stuff, right? Okay, just be very, always double check. Make sure it's not a sticker over a sticker. Stick with us.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen to the radio program coast to coast. We got the simulcast over at Channel 347 DirecTV, as well as Rumble, etc. elsewhere. Hit, I guess, that was carried out on that United Healthcare CEO. The guy was finally photographed unmasked. And it's wild because he was pictured unmasked because he was flirting with someone at that hostel. And the girl with whom he was flirting asked to see his face. And that's when he did it, and that's when the camera caught him. Audio sound by 20. This is wild how this, that's how they have like the photo of his face now. Listen to this.
New York police released this photo of a man seen lowering his mask, revealing more of his face than we've seen before, smiling here. Our John Miller, who we're going to speak to in just a moment, is told by his sources that the man pulled down his mask because he was flirting with a woman at the front desk of a New York City hostel that he was staying in.
Pulled down his mask and was smiling and flirting with her. So Kane and I were talking about this on break because everyone says it's a professional hit. Is it though? I just don't think a professional hit man is going to be so dumb. First off, if there's a camera there, he'll see it. If he's a total pro, he's going to know that there's a camera there at the desk. He's not going to position himself in a way that the camera can see his face. And if his face is covered, he's sure as hell not going to remove his face covering to give a photograph to the camera that can later be used against him. He's not going to be distracted from his mission either. I mean, that's where I'm like, maybe it's not, unless it's a really bad, it does not seem quiet. That was a dumb move. Do you still think it was a professional hitter that their budget only got them this great value assassin?
No, I don't think
for real.
No, I don't think it was a professional hit. Just look, the weak grip on that first shot would tell you that they probably haven't really shot guns that much ever.
Yeah. That was also a thought, like the way that he handled. I mean, not that we're trying to be, but when we're trying to be like technical in that petty kind of way, but that goes a long way in telling you about the background of the person who's doing carrying out the criminal act, and just gives you a little bit of insight in him. Yeah, he was real limp wristed, and that's why it jammed. I mean, when you're limp wristed and you got it, that's one of the number one ways that you can have your semi-auto pistol jam up on you is if you're not holding it correctly and you're not applying, proper, pushback.
Yeah, if your wrist is taking that and absorbing right. That, the slide should be doing that to engage the next round.
Exactly. So he didn't really know what he was doing. And Steve was like, well, he does have a silencer. Yeah, but you can just, that's easy to attach. That's not, and it's not really, silent either, but the way that he was handling his gun, his grip, the fact that he would wear such an easily identifiable backpack also. Isn't that backpack like a $300 backpack?
Yeah.
So you're wearing an ultra bougie backpack that apparently is used by professional photographers. And it seems like he went and got out. He got a hitman backpack. That's what that says to me. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's such a weird thing. How in the world do we not know anything else about this though? In broad daylight in Manhattan, they got his DNA off a water bottle. They've got shell casings with cryptic words on them. They got a photo. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure maybe that there's more that they just haven't released. Thompson, apparently, his estranged wife said that he had been receiving threats, but she didn't know the nature of them. And he didn't have security. And the other people with whom he worked, who were attending the conference with him, said it didn't seem like he had a detail. So I don't know. Just wild. The whole thing is wild. Do you have any theories, Kane?
No, I mean, the narratives that I see come out are plausible. But again, like you said, we don't really have any concrete evidence to point to a real motive right here. Who really knows? I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's wild. It's a weird one. But the fact that they got his picture because he was flirting with a chick, to me, and then his grip and all that, he's not like a seasoned, he's not a pro. He's not a pro. So who hired this guy? Or what else? What other, I mean, this is going to be on like what? Unsolved Mysteries or something one day, isn't it? I just don't know how you don't know who it is at this point. But again, and maybe there's, I'm sure that there's a lot more to it than they're sharing, but it's still very interesting. I know Lorraine brought up the thing that deny, defend, depose on his shell casings. And apparently that was based from like a 2010 book, Delay, Deny, Defend, Why Insurance Companies Don't Pay Claims. I mean, the most basic reasoning is this was a guy who got mad because they denied his claim and he was going to take action against them, right? It's very Occam's razor. You know, the most simple explanation is usually the correct one, Occam's razor. But really, though, I don't know. I think we're so used to conspiracies, but this guy was not a pro. And like I said, the reason that his pistol jammed is because he was limp-wristing it. And by the way, when going to the range with people, that is the number one. That's the first thing that you really focus on with people is their grip, because otherwise you get all kinds of malfunctions if you're not holding it properly and you're not holding it steady with a proper strength in your grip, so that you're not taking that recoil and then jamming up your gun. Or he's not the guy, says Juan. That was the backpack, though, in that hostile video, right? That was the same backpack, that bougie backpack. I mean, that's what, I don't know, it's so weird.
Yeah, Juan's pointing out to two different pictures. I don't know if you can get them together, Juan, and show them on screen side by side or not, but he's showing that the jackets actually are a little different in two of the different photos. Now, does that mean he wore a different jacket on a different day, or is this a different person? I mean, the thing is, it's all still speculative, no matter how you slice it, but...
Maybe he had, like, some of the same jacket. I don't know. The whole thing is so weird.
Yeah, so it looks like he's able to toggle back and forth. So we've got... These are the jackets here. These are the pictures that were circulating originally. And then he showed his face, and this is the jacket that he was wearing with his face. So you see there. Now, obviously, the picture's lighter, so it looks like there could be a different jacket.
I feel like there's not enough contrast in the earlier ones or brightness in there to whether or not you can see
those. Toggle back to those three photos, Juan. Is that thing on his sleeve? There, it looks like he still has that thing on his sleeve on that very right photo. But I don't know. Still, I'm not in charge of the investigation, obviously, and I don't envy those who are, but...
It might be a different... You know, he could have, you know, changed his jacket, but that looks like the same backpack.
Yeah, it does.
So, I don't know. It's all very interesting. Maybe it was a different jacket. It looks like that's a pullover, whereas the other one looks like a jacket. But anyway, long story short, I don't know, maybe it's a guy who got his claim denied and he's mad. I mean, they made movies like that.
It's plausible.
But... That's the guy was getting threats beforehand. And see, that may not be why we don't have any more information. If he was receiving threats beforehand, then obviously, you know, they're investigating all of that. And they don't want to release any information to the public that could compromise the investigation or give up. You know, you don't want to give up any information to that would potentially warn a suspect. You don't want the suspect to know if you're closing in. So I get it. I get it. A few other things to touch on as well to get you set up for the weekend as we roll towards that. The can we talk really quickly about, wait, I want to make sure I get all this. I saw that the Hawk Tua girl was trending because she, just really quickly, she got everybody to invest in crypto and then took all their money. Really quickly, Kane, explain it to us.
No, that is the
you know
long,
this is that pretty much it?
That's the long and short of it.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought there was nuance, but apparently.
No, there's not a lot of nuance.
Excellent.
Steve,
okay.
Are you aware of any nuance to the story the way we just described it?
No, people are just idiots.
People are just idiots.
That's a little caveat.
So they got into what was coming out with a coin, and then people bought into it, and she took their money. And that's it. And so a lot of people were mad at her.
Yeah.
What did people think was going to happen? They were going to get some smart investment from a chick who was bragging about spitting on male copulatory organs and turned it into like $1 million, like bad baby kind of, you know, gig.
That is exactly. I
think like, come on, people, you deserve to be fleeced. If you're, first off, I hate the NFTs. I think those are the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. It's so stupid. It's like simple. It's like the Sims or whatever, right? It is so dumb. Stop buying stupid stuff that you don't need. Stop it. Stop buying stupid crap. Stop it. Who does like it? And then the crypto. You honestly thought you were going to be making a wise investment with a girl who got famous off of a joke about, you know what? Really?
I don't know what. What?
Oh, you want me to go there?
No, I'm joking. But there she is with the, see the green candles there?
Yeah.
Going up, up, up.
And then plummet.
And then, yeah, there she took
So she it made a, how much money do you think she made off that? A couple million.
I don't know. Maybe 50 grand, something.
Oh, what really?
Steve,
think that's
do you
it?
Know what the number was? Or are you familiar with
the
number?
I don't
number
know the was? Number, but I don't. If you're putting your money in streamers, you probably have bigger problems in life.
That's right. If these are your financial investments, you've got made bigger issues. You have way bigger issues. I just was like enthralled by the commentary on X. Can you believe? Yes, I actually can believe. My question is, why did you not? Stop it. Stop making dumb people famous and stop buying stuff that you don't need. You don't need it, right?
Important lessons for life.
Well, what?
Those are important lessons for life.
Oh, yeah, they are. Like, can I be honest? This Christmas, I'm like, oh, I don't really feel like buying presents. Is that ignorant? I've never done any more than three for my kids ever because I'm like, Jesus only got three. You're not better than Jesus. So you don't get, look, unless you have more than three Magi coming and, you know, bringing, rewriting history for the Lord, you don't get more than three gifts. And be happy it's not just some spices. You know, those were very expensive during the time. That's like the equivalent of getting like a Tiffany box, okay? So anyway, I'm like, don't expect more than three. But I'm like, I don't like buying things for people just to buy them. And I don't like people buying things for me just to buy it. Right. I hate that. Yeah. I would rather not receive anything. Unless someone heard me like, she really likes this or that. And I'm going to get it. Or she needs this. I'm going to get. Otherwise, don't. Don't waste your time. Like, I feel like too many people focus on that going into the Christmas season, right? I think I'm going to start putting bows on things like the light switches. And be like, Merry Christmas, you got lights. You know, Merry Christmas, you got running water.
Kitchen sink.
Right?
The toilets.
Like, yeah. I'm going to put a bow on each roll of toilet paper. Like, Merry Christmas, you have toilet paper. Don't hit me up about how I say it either. Shush up. I literally heard I heard like three people at least out there saying, I'm sorry, what type of paper?
Yeah, what was it?
It's toilet paper.
What?
Shut up.
Toilet?
T-O-E-L-E-T. Toilet.
Toilet.
Right. Toilet. I can't. How am I supposed to say it?
Like, twilight? How do you say foil?
Foil.
What? You do not say it that way.
If I'm paying attention and remember. So when I was a little kid, they put me in speech class because I had too much of a twang. I'm not even kidding with you. And if I really like go back to my professionalism, foil. And that sounds so dumb. But if I'm just talking, it's full. I'm not even lying.
Seriously.
Seriously.
And same with like motor oil?
Oil.
Or
yeah.
baby oil?
Totally. I have to really stop and be like, no.
Olive
oil.
Olive oil, even?
Olive oil.
Seriously.
I have to stop and go, oil. All you people with your syllables, you want more and more of them.
Well, all of that to
you
say.
You need one.
That's the
oil. That's it.
The oi part that you need for toilet. That's the long toilet. Way of getting there.
It's toilet paper.
Toy. Like just toy. Can you say toy?
Toy.
Yeah, toy. A toilet.
That sounds dumb.
Toilet.
That sounds like a plaything let.
What? It's how it's pronounced. It's toilet.
Anyway, put a bow on the toilet paper is what I'm going to do. Right? Be like, Merry Christmas with every roll. Every roll is a Christmas miracle. Look. I think that's what I'm... That's the only way my kids are going to get more than three anything. I just, you know, like appreciate stuff. All right, we got to get moving. Oh, I'm going to get hate mail.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. I've got some pieces that are kind of in the works. I've been sick this week, so I'm behind a little bit. So I'm trying to get everything out and a couple of pieces that are a little bit longer to work on. I'm trying to get that all out to you. So just FYI. And make sure you find us on Facebook, too. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
Oh, boy. It is Senator Elizabeth. I am Pocahontas Warren.
Liawatha,
also known as Liawatha. This is what she had to say about Pete Hegseth. She doth protest too much. Listen to this.
Pete Hegseth, Donald Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense,
yeah.
thinks that women in the military should not serve in combat. Yeah. He's accused of raping a woman and Ooh. Buying her silence with an NDA.
Really?
He went to work events drunk First, and preyed on his okay, female employees.
But there's a difference between being part of combat and then being part of ground yes. combat. And I talked about this yesterday. He has been very specific about it. Yep. Democrats, once again, are refusing to be so that they can insinuate and play the sex card.
That's right.
So stupid. Folks, that does it for us this week. I hope you all stay healthy and happy. Have a wonderful weekend. I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday.